You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The post-game show might be lively. The product on the floor, unfortunately, was anything but. On that note, welcome in to another post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Today's show is brought to you courtesy of our sponsors over at MyBookie. Go to MyBookie at MyBookie.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and MyBookie will match your initial deposit by 100% up to $1,000. So as we chat this Thursday evening, the Rockets' three-game winning streak is officially snapped. The Rockets losing 98-80 in Oklahoma City in a game that didn't even feel that close. The Rockets were down 20 points by the middle of the third quarter and looked stuck in mud offensively. For the third consecutive game, they actually held an opponent below 100 points, so the defense was fine. If you want to look for a silver lining, I guess it's that. But what's kind of been hidden is that even though the defense has gotten going, and that was the concern early in the year, the offense, the prior two games, was below 100 points, and I think we sort of rationalized it as they didn't have Eric Gordon, and more than that, they still didn't have Eric Gordon on Thursday, but those last two games, it was night two of a road back-to-back, and then night four of a 3-4 night stretch on the road. So people wanted to believe there were fatigue issues, James Harden just getting back from the hamstring injury, Chris Paul having to carry such a heavy workload on night one, et cetera, et cetera. Well, in this case, there's no such excuses. The Rockets went into Oklahoma City. They had 2 days off. They even got to go back in Houston and sleep in their own beds, and none of it mattered. The defense was okay, but ultimately, the Rockets just did not have any juice at all on the offensive end of the floor. James Harden led the way, 19 points, 8 rebounds, just 7 of 19 shooting, but not nearly enough help elsewhere. Chris Paul, 10 points, 5 assists, 6 steals, 5 turnovers, and even those stats don't quite do it justice. He was 4 of 11 from the field, but a lot of the makes came in garbage time. He was scoreless for a third consecutive game offensively. Rockets down 14 at the break, yet again just 45 points in the first half. And unlike Indiana, where James Harden was there to rescue them late, in this case against an Oklahoma City team that even without Russell Westbrook still has another star in Paul George and interior rim protection in Steven Adams and a lot of length collectively, it was enough for the Rockets not to be able to get within striking distance in the fourth quarter for the MVP, James Harden, to steal a game late in this instance. Now, it's not to put everything onto Chris Paul. He was far from the only subpar performer in this game. James Ennis went 2 of 7. Carmelo Anthony was a dreadful 1 of 11 in 20 minutes off the bench, a team worst minus 22. Gary Clark played some quality defense, but he again struggled to shoot, second consecutive 1 of 6 game from behind the arc. Clint Capella had 17 points and 7 boards in 34 minutes, 8 of 12 shooting, but he was just abused on the glass when it mattered by Steven Adams. A couple of rebounds that Clint had came very late. Again, with about 4 minutes to go, he had 5 rebounds in a game the Rockets were being out-rebounded at the time, 50-32, and that's a separate issue. You needed more from Capella in terms of keeping possessions alive than what you got tonight, especially when you consider the Rockets collectively shooting just 37.8% from the field and 26% from three. But the real problem that I go back to, and it's more than just this game, is the performance of Chris Paul. Because the other players we referenced, those are role players. You're going to have games from those types in which they hit, and you're going to have games in which they don't. What's supposed to make the Rockets so good, and now with the three-game winning streak snap, they fall to 4-6 on the year through 10 games. Not all that small of a sample, and 4-6, definitely a very disappointing start. And the biggest reason, aside from injuries and suspensions, is that, quite frankly, you're not getting what you got a season ago from Chris Paul. James Harden, now he was a little bit underwhelming tonight. He is still coming back from the hamstring injury, but by and large, you've gotten what you expect from James Harden. The problem for the Rockets when these two guys have been healthy is that the foundation of two top 10 players, two elite players, you don't have that. Going into this game in which the Thunder didn't have Russell Westbrook, and to be fair, the Rockets didn't have Eric Gordon, but look, Russell Westbrook's a better player than Eric Gordon, so let's not make excuses saying that, well, the Rockets lost in part because Eric Gordon wasn't out there. No, there's plenty of reasons that they should have overcome that. Ultimately, they could not. And the reason they should have won this game especially being rested, is because you go up against the Oklahoma City Thunder team that only has Paul George as a proven scorer. You're supposed to have two in Chris Paul and James Harden. And yet, for a third consecutive game, Chris Paul did not even score in the first half, and that's what set the tone. The Rockets down 14 at the break to an Oklahoma City team led by Paul George and without Russell Westbrook. And I know the natural concern for some with Chris Paul, I'm not going to say there's zero merit to it, is the fact that he's 33 years old, it's year 14, he just got the big contract. Is this when there's going to be signs of a fall off? You could argue that. Personally, I tend to wonder if there might be an injury. We've seen him play with wraps on first his wrist, then his elbow on his right hand. I've noticed a lot of his shots coming up short. The reason I wonder about the injury is that typically if a player gets to a point where he's not as explosive and it's just an age-related fall off, you don't necessarily have the peaks. The story with Chris Paul, he has had games this year. The Staples Center game before the punching incident with Rajon Rondo, he was 28-10-7, 9 of 17 from the field. He was the best player on the floor in a game that also featured James Harden, the reigning MVP, and LeBron James, maybe the best player of all time. The first game of the three-game winning streak in Brooklyn, he put up 32-11-7 on 13 of 27 from the field. He was explosive, he was draining threes, he was beating people off the dribble. Typically, when a player falls off, they don't fall off a cliff. It's just they become slightly less efficient, and generally speaking, you don't have those standout games. It's more of just kind of a slow decline. With Chris Paul, that isn't what we've seen. Actually, going into tonight, his stats were okay. He was still averaging 18 points and 9 assists per game, roughly, which is in line. Now his percentages are down in terms of shooting overall below 40%. I think now he's below 30% from three. But generally speaking, he's still put up fairly similar numbers overall, and that's because when he's been good, he's been really good. The problem is the other games, he hasn't just been average, he's been really bad. The last three games, 3 of 11, 4 of 12, 4 of 11, averaging below 10 points per game, and those numbers are a little bit misleading because, quite frankly, he did a lot of it in garbage time. Again, three consecutive scoreless halves, including in this one in which it was set by halftime. The Rockets against a Thunder team that was bigger, that was beating them on the glass. If they didn't have the firepower to beat a Thunder team offensively without Russell Westbrook, they just didn't have the muscle inside to counteract that. And so, do I think Clint Capella could have been better? Sure. But ultimately, the failures for the Rockets in this game, they needed more offensively. And even without Eric Gordon, there's no excuses when you're facing a team without Russell Westbrook and you're coming into a game off of two consecutive off days. There's no reason to look that tired. And I don't know what the issue is with Chris Paul. It could be physical if something is going on with his shooting arm or wrist. It could be mental if he's just in a funk. These things do happen. It could be aging. I'm somewhat skeptical of that just because, to me, if a player in year 14, age 33, if you see a year that they're starting to lose it, to me, you don't have the peaks that we've seen from Chris in that Brooklyn game, in that Laker game. We have seen games in which Chris looks as good as ever. So that's why I'm hesitant after just eight games to think that there's some sort of regression that he's not going to be able to recapture. What I'm more concerned about is something that we don't know about mentally or physically that's causing these performances in which he comes out a little bit tentative. And what's really telling to me, in his last three games, he's now a combined 0 of 13 from behind the arc. If you want to look at a player who's aging, look at Carmelo Anthony, who I mentioned was dreadful tonight. And I think the Thunder's length, even without Russell Westbrook, the Thunder across the board, when you look at Jeremy Grant, Steven Adams, they're very long. I think a rangy team like that poses some matchup issues for Carmelo Anthony. And I know it was his return in Oklahoma City. He wanted to play well. I just don't think this was a favorable matchup for him. But Carmelo's a guy, you can see the effects of aging clearly there. He's just not nearly as explosive. But even now, Carmelo has been shooting the three relatively well this season, at least until the past couple of games. That's one of the things, your three-point shooting, that as long as you're healthy, even if you're less explosive, that tends to still be there. For Chris Paul to struggle across the board, it's not like he's just not as explosive. We saw him have several wide-open threes tonight that he was nowhere close to. He's now 0 of 13 in his last three games. Maybe it's mechanical. Maybe he's injured. Maybe there's some sort of mental funk he's in right now. But to me, I'm not going to say that there's no chance that there's an aging component to it. I just think that even if that's a small part of it, I think there's a bigger story we don't fully know yet. But regardless of what it is, that is the far and away lead issue for the Rockets right now, fixing Chris Paul. Because without having Chris Paul fixed, well, you're basically the team you were 2 years ago, but without the depth and without the chemistry, because you are still integrating new parts. I still don't think James Harden and James Ennis coming off the hamstring injuries are 100%. But basically, without peak Chris Paul, you're back to having James Harden as your only consistent creator, your only guy that can generate his own offense going to the basket. And a lot of other guys that are spot-up shooters and not really guys that can create or do anything to relieve the playmaking burden off of James Harden, which also makes the team collectively a little more turnover prone, as we saw with 17 tonight, 5 for James Harden, but also 5 for Chris Paul. I'm not saying this to let Carmelo Anthony off the hook, but you expect role players like that to have some games where they're hot and some games where they're not, and some games where the matchups are favorable to them and other games where they aren't as favorable. With Chris Paul, a guy you're paying $40 million a year at age 33, a certain Hall of Famer, you can't have 3 consecutive games where he's scoreless in the first half. And if he doesn't produce, the Rockets just aren't a top-shelf basketball team. It really is that simple. And ultimately, when you want to diagnose what's going on with the Rockets, I know, you know, the sexy narrative to start the year was to blame everything on Ariza, Bamute, Jeff Bezdelic, the defense, all that kind of stuff. But the reality is the defense for a third consecutive game was largely fine. It's the offense, yet again, that fell flat. And even though you think James Harden and Chris Paul are going to be fine on that end, well, at some point, they've got to actually do it. And when you see a game in which you score just 80 points, and again, the third consecutive in which the high-flying Rockets, especially with the pace the NBA plays at these days, their freedom of movement emphasis, all that stuff, continually not even break 100, in this case, barely break 80, it's problematic. And they've got a couple of days. The Spurs should be a more favorable matchup for them. You go from a team that's very long in the Thunder to a team with the Spurs, with LaMarcus Aldridge, Pau Gasol up front. On paper, that should be a lot more friendly. But at some point, look, it's going to come down to the stars. And I trust James Harden to get his stuff figured out. Chris Paul, it's 3 consecutive games now coming off that 32-11 in Brooklyn, which I don't know if it's physical, if it's mental, whatever it may be, but Chris Paul just is not giving you what he's supposed to give you as the $40 million a year foundation in the team. That's really all there is to say in the aftermath of this deflating 98-80 loss. Now, we'll continue in our 3 points recap momentarily, but for now, I do want to pause and acknowledge our sponsors over at MyBookie, because without their support, we would not be able to bring you this show as frequently as we do, the only regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. And you know, ever since I started this podcast over 2 years ago, people ask me all the time for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. If you asked me before tonight, I would have expected the Rockets to win and not the Thunder. But if you think you know, well, you've got to check out MyBookie, the sponsors of today's show. Because remember, what's just as important as who you're betting with is who you're betting on. And that's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. It's just as important to bet with the right people as it is to bet on the right people. And trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years. They've got great reviews online. And their mobile site is very easy to use. So lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend the service to my listeners. It's been good to me. And that's why I'm urging you to make your way over to MyBookie at MyBookie.ag, where you win, they pay. They've got in-game live betting. They've got the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score in each game. The real perk? Join now and MyBookie will match your initial deposit dollar for dollar just by using the promo code LOCKEDON, which will activate the offer. So visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. They will match your first deposit by 100% up to $1,000. So that's MyBookie at MyBookie.ag, where you play, you win, and you get paid. Now, who played tonight but did not win? Well, that's the Houston Rockets, as we continue making our way through this 3 points recap of the 98-80 loss the Rockets suffered in Oklahoma City, dropping them to 4-6 on the year and snapping their 3-game losing streak. And we spent much of the first segment discussing Chris Paul, because to me, that's the far and away lead story of the Rockets. It's not just one game. It's a continuation of a very sluggish trend in which they haven't scored 103 consecutive games. They regressed even more against a quality and very long and physical Oklahoma City Thunder team tonight. You do give them some credit. But aside from that, it's not just the opponent. It's the third consecutive game. You haven't got nearly enough from Chris Paul. And before you get into the role players, you've got to have your $40 million a year guy doing his part. So to me, before any analysis piece goes into what's going on with matchups, the role players, you've got to look at the stars when one of them doesn't deliver, and that was certainly the case with Chris Paul tonight. Beyond that, though, the other story, the Thunder out-rebounded the Rockets 52-39, and what was really frustrating for me in this one, Steven Adams in his 32 minutes had 10 rebounds. Clint Capella in his 34 minutes had 7 rebounds. A couple of those, as I mentioned earlier, came late. Really, it felt like he was stuck on 5 or lower for the vast majority of the game. But it felt like early in the game, the Rockets changed back their defense closer, and I'll have to watch this game again to confirm this, but it looked like they were doing more all-out switching with Clint Capella than they had been the last two games. As I've discussed for the last few days on this show, one thing that they adjusted to, and it provided them superior results, you started seeing them drop Clint Capella more, not seeing him do as many all-out switches onto the perimeter. And it boosted the Rockets in terms of not just rebounding, but more importantly, rim protection, having Clint Capella's shot-blocking ability and athleticism near the rim at all times in case there was a breakdown elsewhere, you had his ability to recover. Well, tonight, it looked to me like there were more all-out switches which pushed Clint Capella away from the basket and left the bucket open. Even though the Rockets allowed just 98 points for the game, they did give up 59 points in the first half, so let's not act like the defense was perfect. Now, some of that was turnover generated for the Thunder. It wasn't like the Rockets were just having consistent breakdowns in the half court, but there were more open lanes than you would like. And the other byproduct of that is if you have Clint Capella switching onto the perimeter as frequently as he does, well, when you play an Oklahoma City team that is so long, it's not just Steven Adams in the middle, who had 10 rebounds in 32 minutes, but it's Paul George, who had 11 rebounds in 35 minutes, Jeremy Grant, who had 6 rebounds in 34, so 17 between the 3 and the 4 spots for Oklahoma City, in addition to the 10 that Steven Adams had. That's a lot of collective length, and if Clint Capella is getting drawn onto the perimeter, then that's going to be a lot of offensive rebounds that the opposing team can get, and that's what was really frustrating in this one, is that not only did you have Capella switch more, which I didn't think I still don't think he's all the way back to where he was a year ago in terms of his switching defense. Now, he has his stamina. Clint did play 34 minutes again, and that's another positive. We have seen that he seems to be in better physical conditioning, at least in some respects, and ability to handle 30-plus minutes than he ever has in his NBA career. But we haven't seen him, for whatever reason, maybe he's a touch heavy, I'm not sure what it is, he hasn't held his own on the perimeter as well as he did a year ago against quick guards on switches. And it hasn't been catastrophic because, again, even when he's in peak form, it's not really fair to expect a guy who's nearly 7 feet tall to do that over the 82-game grind with that much regularity. And the Rockets have adjusted pretty well by having him drop more on these switches in the last few games. And that's helped them in, again, a number of fronts because it's kind of mitigated Capella's lateral quickness, if there's any reduction there, then it's kind of mitigated the impact of that the last few games, and it's also given them more rim protection, more rebounding, just because you're keeping your bigger guy closer to the basket. Well, tonight, even against a Thunder team that didn't have their usual volume of playmakers without Russell Westbrook sitting out with the ankle tweak, well, you still were switching, from what I saw, Clint Capella more than ever. He wasn't near the bucket, and so yes, he still needs to be a little more active on the glass, and beyond Clint Capella, look, the 14 minutes that he didn't play, they tried Isaiah Hartenstein in the first half, Marquise Chris some in the second. Neither one of those guys was very good in a perfect role. I think maybe this is a matchup where Nene, even at 36 years old, could have some success. We know what Nene did against the Thunder in the playoffs, Steven Adams in particular a couple of years ago. So if Nene were healthy, maybe this is a matchup where you could try him. But the bottom line is, it's kind of foolish to look at the 14 minutes that Clint Capella didn't play and focus on those as though that's some sort of a major issue. No, I mean, Clint Capella played 34 minutes, and the Rockets were largely outplayed in those minutes. His minus 12 was second worst among the Rockets starters. So when you look at that, you can point to Clint and say he needs to rebound harder and be more physical against Steven Adams, and I think there's some truth to that. But beyond that, I think the Rockets also need to realize that, especially against a team that is as collectively long and physical as the Thunder are, if Clint Capella isn't near the bucket, then you're just at an extreme disadvantage when you have PJ Tucker, who's undersized as a four, James Ennis, who isn't as springy as he normally is as a guy coming off a grade 2 hamstring pull, Carmelo Anthony, who at age 34 is a below-the-rim player. You're just going to be at a disadvantage on the loose balls unless you have Clint Capella near the bucket. And so that, to me, was something the Rockets need to control what they can control. Now, I won't say defense was the main issue. The Rockets need to score more points. But the defense and the rebounding, the Rockets didn't hit threes. They were 11 of 42 overall. The best way to overcome that is to get a lot of activity on the offensive glass. Unfortunately, the Rockets did not do that because it felt too often like either Capella didn't have the energy or B, the way they were using him on both ends of the floors consistently had him more away from the bucket than the Thunder just collectively were too long, too physical, and the Rockets just did not seem to have the answer. And eventually scoring just, 38 points in the second half, it just felt like things ground to a halt, and the Rockets realized that they were out of answers. Final thoughts before we close out our 3 points recap of this deflating 98-80 loss by the Rockets to the Thunder, dropping Houston to 4-6 on the year. The main story, the regression of Chris Paul, not nearly enough energy and rebounding, and to some degree, either Clint Capella or his usage or some combination of those two, that has a lot to do with it. The other thing, and it's not an excuse for the loss, but I think it's something to keep in mind with regards to the offensive regression as a whole, the Rockets miss Eric Gordon. That's not saying that, well, you can point to that and excuse the loss, because no, the Thunder didn't have Russell Westbrook. Injuries happen, and there's no excuse that the Rockets should have won this game, and not only did they not win, they weren't even close. That said, when you talk about not just this game, but the trend, three consecutive games now, which the Rockets have been below 100 points, and in this case, way below it, it exposes, when you look at the bench, how little in the way of actual creators they have. Gary Clark, 1 of 6. Marquise Chris, 1 of 3. Isaiah Hartenstein, 0 of 1. Carmelo Anthony, 1 of 11. Gerald Green finally saw the ball go through the basket some. He's had a woeful year shooting thus far. Gerald Green, 3 of 6. But combined, those guys off the bench, that's 6 of 21. And that's with some buckets in garbage time. And I know you're going to say, well, Carmelo Anthony, shouldn't he create his own offense? Not really. There's a few matchups where he can, but at 34 years old, you're relying on Carmelo Anthony to be a catch-and-shoot type guy. There's a reason we've said he's the ideal Ryan Anderson replacement. He's not the Eric Gordon replacement, because there are going to be some matchups where he's just not nearly athletic enough to create his own offense consistently. There are certain situations where you want him to, and some matchups that may be friendlier to him. But generally speaking, Eric Gordon's the only guy on that bench that can create his own offense. And then when you go through a stretch with the starters, where Chris Paul is not himself, well, you know P.J. Tucker and James Ennis are not creators. Clint Capella is a center. He has gotten a little bit better as a passer, so I suppose there's that. But really, in the offense, there's James Harden, and that's about it. And the bench? Carmelo Anthony, when he doesn't have an athletic advantage, and that's not going to be much in year 16 at age 34, there's not a lot that he brings you as a creator. And generally speaking, other than that, the Rockets just don't look athletic enough. The Thunder, we mentioned the length they had, even without Russell Westbrook, across the board. There's also a lot of springy guys, athleticism that they have, the Dennis Schroeders of the world, the Terrence Fergusons. There's a lot of guys that, even if they're not necessarily efficient shot makers, at the same time, they can do things off the dribble. They can penetrate. They can collapse the defense. The Rockets, you think they're a great offense because you look at the backcourt and you say, wow, when they're healthy, Chris Paul, James Harden, Eric Gordon, they've got all 96 of those minutes spoken for. But what puts the Rockets in a difficult spot, and this is why not having Brandon Knight really hurts, and why I think a lot of Rockets fans were excited about Brandon Knight going into the year. We'll see what's going on. I think when the Rockets get back home this weekend, when the 5-game road trip concludes after Saturday's game in San Antonio, hopefully we'll get an update on how Brandon Knight's progressing the infection in his surgically repaired knee and whether he's anywhere close to starting practice and going on the road to getting physically cleared. Hopefully we'll get an update on that on Sunday. But to me, this game reflects the fact that, yeah, they need him. Because the Rockets, outside of James Harden and Chris Paul right now, there's no one that you trust to generate their own offense. And then if you just have two guys and one of them goes through the funk for whatever reason that Chris Paul is in, as we discussed earlier, all of a sudden the Rockets look very predictable. And against a team that is as long and as physical as the Thunder are, it can get ugly, as it did for the Rockets tonight in terms of, you know, for all we say about the Rockets, Mike D'Antoni, James Harden, Chris Paul, they should be this dynamic offense. At the same time, they're a dynamic offense because of their heavy reliance on some really good players. And then if you have Chris Paul, one go through a funk, and another Eric Gordon be out injured, then, yeah, it's a problem. And Eric Gordon's not like when he's played this year, and maybe some of it's related to the leg issues he's had. Maybe he hasn't been fully healthy either. We'll have to see. Hopefully they get him healthy when he returns. Sounds like he could this weekend, and if that's the case, maybe he'll be more efficient. But even if Eric Gordon is not making his shots, he at least is someone that can play one-on-one off the dribble and at least make the defense respect his ability to take the ball off the bounce. You're certainly not expecting P.J. Tucker, James Ennis, Gary Clark, Gerald Green, whoever it may be, even Carmelo Anthony, to do much of that. So it's not so much an excuse for this loss as it is a reminder that the Rockets, they're supposed to be a really good offensive team, but in terms of the guys who do the heavy lifting, There's actually not that many. And that's why you could use Brandon Knight to give you some insurance. Because if one of your big three guards is out, and then another is struggling, and then you're playing a team that's pretty long and quality defensively, as the Oklahoma City Thunder are, well, you get tonight. And all I know to say, besides the obvious, if Chris Paul needs to play better, well, the Rockets need to get healthier. They need Eric Gordon back this weekend, and hopefully, not too long after that, you have Brandon Knight on the way back who can provide you some insurance. Because right now, the Rockets just don't have enough playmakers, and they need Chris Paul to do his job a lot better, but they also need better insurance because the Rockets wouldn't be the team that they were a year ago and the team they were expected to be this year in terms of playoff contention if they didn't have guys beyond Chris Paul and James Harden to do some of the heavy lifting offensively in an NBA game that seems to be getting more offensive-minded, more creative, more athletic. Right now, on that side of the floor, the Rockets just aren't good enough. There's not enough talent. And hopefully the injuries can resolve that. Eric Gordon, I think there's a good shot that either Saturday or Sunday he's back. We'll have to wait and see what the deal is with Brandon Knight. Again, I think the next time we'll get a chance to really see what's going on there is when the Rockets get back home. That's Sunday against the Indiana Pacers. But they need him because right now, the bench is pretty punchless, and really, outside of James Harden and Chris Paul, the entire offense is pretty punchless, and any reinforcements they can get, the better. Because again, the Rockets, one of the downsides of starting 1-5, you know, you look at this and you say, well, the Rockets had a bad night, but they've still won 3 of their last 4. That's true. It's one game. It's nothing to be that despondent about. But when you start 1-5, and now you're 4-6 through 10 games, that's not an insignificant sample, especially when you have, well, the Spurs, they might be a bit of a breather, but that's in San Antonio, never easy. Then you have the Pacers at Denver and Golden State coming up. Things can spiral again in a hurry. There are no gimme games for a while. So this is a game you thought you got a break. The Thunder not having Russell Westbrook, it should have been a win. Instead, the Rockets weren't even close. And we've been through the issues before. The energy, offensively, they need more from Chris Paul, their $40 billion man. But beyond that, they just need more talent, period. And some of that's on the sidelines hurt right now. And the hope, maybe by this weekend, they'll start to get it back. I think, if nothing else, Thursday's game showed just how sorely needed that additional talent is. So with that, until the weekend back-to-back, Saturday in San Antonio, Sunday at home against Indiana, this is where we will leave off. As always, thanks so much to you guys, our loyal listeners, for tuning in. If you want more content before that next show, the best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Also, email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Facebook account at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets. Website, LockedOnRockets.com. Always you can access our content, ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, pretty much anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, a diehard Rockets fan, or even you, the human being. Don't hesitate to reach out and let us know. Also, subscribe to us if you haven't already, please. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, TuneIn, Megaphone. The odds are wherever you're listening to your podcast, you should be able to find us because we're part of a great network of local experts at the Locked On Podcast Network covering not just the NBA, but even the NFL, Major League Baseball, college sports. In Houston, that also includes the Locked On Texans sister podcast that we have. Wherever you want to listen to your podcast, the odds are you can find us. So subscribe, leave us a 5-star review. That's how you'll get episodes right when they come out, be it Locked On Rockets or Locked On Texans. And in addition to that, if you leave that 5-star review, that's how we look attractive to potential advertisers and keep the business model working here at Locked On Rockets, the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. If you want to be an advertiser, well, I strongly encourage you to take advantage of our growing audience the same way that MyBookie did today. Remember, go to MyBookie.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and from there, they will match your first deposit by 100%. Up to $1,000. That's our sponsors at MyBookie. And if you want to join them in taking advantage of our rapidly growing audience, again, please email me at lockedonrockets@gmail.com because we've got some great introductory specials and a great way to reach a diehard audience of Rockets fans. Anyway, once again, the unhappy final from Oklahoma City, Thunder 98, Rockets 80. Rockets fall to 1-6 on the year, or 4-6 on the year through 10 games. Excuse me, not quite that bad, but they fall to 4-6 on the year through 10 games, and the 3-game winning streak is officially snapped. So on that unfortunate note, go out, enjoy your weekend, and come back soon when the Rockets resume play Saturday against the Spurs and Sunday against the Pacers. Whatever happens, we'll have you covered after both games right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on Houston Rockets basketball.